Thank you. did Jesus, the man, say about the baby in the manger? What did Jesus understand about why he came? And when we listen to what he says, it should make us glad, and it should make our Christmas a real celebration. Why did Jesus come? What did he say about it? Last week, we started this series looking at John chapter 6. Jesus said he'd come into the world to do the will of God who sent me. And God told us that Jesus would come to get us and hold on to us and take us into the new creation. He's not going to give up on us and throw us away if we're his. And after that, it's in a prayer that used that idea. No one can take him out of my grasp. Jesus did not come at Christmas just to make an offer. For those who are interested, Jesus came to get his people. In John chapter 9, Jesus says something else about why he'd come, which is quite surprising. It's the end of the chapter, verse 39. In verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Just a slightly strange saying. We're going to come back to that, but we need to read the whole story, think about the whole story to make sense of it. So let me run through the story briefly. Jesus and his friends come across a man. We don't know his name. All we know about him is that he was blind. I mean, he'd always been blind from when he was a baby. His disciples ask this question: why is the man blind? Is it his parents' fault because of their sin, or is it the man's fault because of his sin? He was blind when he was a baby. And the Bible tells us all suffering in the world is a result of human sin. The world before sin was without suffering. When people decided we know better than God and chose to act as though we were in charge, the world went wrong. And one of the things that came in was the suffering of sickness. But we cannot link every illness and suffering with any sin that that person or their family has done. It doesn't work that simply. So when a family has this terrible situation of a child with strep A, we cannot say it must be because they've sinned in a particular way or because a curse on them has brought that illness. Can't say that. Human sin is so twisted, the whole world, that sickness just happens here, it happens there, it happens to the good, it happens to the bad. Jesus heals this blind man. And he can do that because he is God on earth, God in human skin. He's in control of the ordinary things in the universe, the everyday, the cold winter that we're having at the moment, the breath of your air, the cloud, you have to breathe out the tiredness of your breath. But he also controls the ordinary things and therefore the extraordinary things. If he's in control of every ordinary thing, he can choose to do the extraordinary and, in this instance, heal this illness. As you'd expect, after this extraordinary event, the street is buzzing with the news. It's incredible. You imagine they'd be down at the corner shop talking about it. This was a man they knew as a beggar, because in those times, if you didn't work, you begged and there were other way to live. Is it really him? They say, no, it can't be. But the man himself says, I am the man. It's me. So they say in verse 10, how then were your eyes opened? What happened? So he tells them, he put one of my eyes, he sent me to wash, I washed, and I came back to see him. So they take this man who'd been blind to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and John throws in a bit of extra information that's important in verse 14. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Sabbath is the once a week holy day in Old Testament religion. You shall not do any work on the Sabbath, is what the Ten Commandments say. How did it happen? They asked the man. And he tells the story again. He put one of my eyes, I went, I washed, I came back seeing. some of them think Jesus must be evil. He's not observed the rule about the holy day. He's worked on the Sabbath. So they ask the man, what do you think about Jesus? Verse 17, and they turned the gate to the blind man. What did you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And this man says, well, I think he's a prophet. But the religious leaders get there, they still won't listen to what the man's telling them until they check with his parents. So they get a counseling, and they've got three questions in verse 18. Did you see them? Verse 19, three questions. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? And third, how is it that now he can see? Is it your son? He might be lying, but the parents don't know. Is he the one born blind? He can't remember when he was a baby. Parents don't know. How did it happen? And the parents are careful. They ask the first question, yes, we know this is our son. They ask the second question, yes, he was born blind. But the third question, not going to say anything. You ask him, he's old enough. Why won't they say? Because they're afraid they're going to get into trouble with the religious leaders. It's there in verse 22. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. They don't like Jesus, the religious leaders, and they don't like those who are following Jesus. So they get the man back in again. Give glory to God, which is about saying, come on, tell us the truth. What really happened? It must be something bad. We know he's a sinner. When you say he's a sinner, the man says, verse 25, he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. So they say again, how did it happen? And the man realizes what they're doing. He's already told them. They don't really want to know. They're just trying to get Jesus in trouble. So he says, well, do you want to be his followers too? Which just makes them upset. It's one of the funny elements of this episode, isn't it? They think that we're not for that. They're angry with Jesus because he's not following their ideas. And so they're angry with anyone who goes along with Jesus. So what does the man say? They hurl insults at him, verse 28, and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that is remarkable. Here is something amazing, is what he's saying. What is he talking about? He's technically talking about, I was blind, but now I can see. That's amazing. But there's something else amazing. What is amazing now is the stubbornness of these leaders. That's what he's amazed about. He's amazed about these people who are trying to write off this miracle, trying to argue that it must be a bad thing. Well, the leaders are still furious with him, and so in verse 34 they throw him out. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth, how dare you lecture us? And they throw him out, which is just what his parents were worried about. Well, it's happened to him because he wasn't like his parents. He didn't avoid it. He spoke up and he suffered the consequence. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so I can believe him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. Have you worshipped him? So in this episode, there are people who see truth about God, understand and think rightly, and people who do not see truth about God, don't understand and think rightly. Now this man is, and it was blind, he's starting to see not just people around him and buildings and dogs and things like that, but he's starting to see the truth about God. He doesn't see it fully, he doesn't know who the person is who's come from God to bring life. Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? I don't know who he is. I don't yet understand it. So he still needs Paul to understand. And so Jesus says, I am the way. And so the man then sees most clearly and worships the Son of God. And Jesus explains that what has come on. And this is the verse that we read at the beginning, verse 39. Jesus said, the judgments have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Jesus explained what has gone on, why he has come, why the baby was in the manger, what is Christmas about. I have come for judgment. Judgment can mean giving of punishment, but that doesn't seem to happen here very clearly. But it can also mean giving an assessment or making a decision. Judges in the court, when they give a judgment, it means they decide about a situation. They give a judgment and there are far consequences, aren't there? Jesus comes to make clear who knows God and who does not. That's the judgment, that's the decision he's making by his actions and by his words. His presence brings about a decision between, or makes clear the decision between who is knowing God and who is not knowing God. And the next slide, if you mark, puts that heading up, please. Jesus comes to make clear who knows God and who does not. That's what he's saying. The judgment of him into the world to make clear so that those who are blind can see and those who see become blind. The miracle Jesus has done is a sign, it's a picture, it is non-verbal communication. So what Jesus has done for that man is opened his blind eyes so he can see people and buildings and dogs and things like that. But Jesus also can make people who are blind to God see God. He can enable people who are in darkness from God come into light of God. He can enable people who are lost from God to be brought back into the family. That's the real work of Jesus, so making this man better. He was sat by the road that day as Jesus and his friends walked along. That's just a picture of a much bigger thing Jesus can do. He can bring people to know God who didn't know him, to see God who couldn't see him, to be in light who was stuck in darkness. Jesus brings, Jesus brings light to people in darkness. So if you are here today, if you are a Christian, if you are someone who worships Jesus as the person who enables us to know God, this story is telling you that has not happened to you because you were clever or because you were better than other people. God has done a miracle in you. As big as this miracle that he did in that man's eyes, for you to know Jesus. Thank God for that miracle. And don't despair if people you know around you are not becoming Christians, even when you're speaking to them. God can do that miracle still. Keep praying for them. Keep inviting them. Use the invite, use the leaflets for those with whom you can. Speak to Jesus about them when you can. God is able to do this miracle for people who can't see him, don't know him, and are far from him. He can change that. So Jesus has come into the world, makes clear who knows God, because he brings light to people in darkness. Next bullet mark. I have light to see God if I trust and obey Jesus. So I'm someone who will see God, will know him, if I'm someone like the blind man who trusts Jesus. Beginning of the story, where's the man? Blind man, he was sat by the road, he was begging. His situation was he couldn't see. Jesus is a miracle. He can see. But the big Micah story is this man is also growing in spiritual sense. He's starting to know God. What does that mean? Well, the way this man stands out from the leaders is that this man knows he needed help. He needed help to see. And the other real standout aspect of this man is that he admits that he doesn't understand things. So a couple of points people say, ask the question, where is this man Jesus? I don't know. Who is this man Jesus? I don't know. Is this man Jesus a sinner? I don't know. But I do know this. But he trusts Jesus. You see, he's not claiming he knows everything. Lesson for us this morning is, am I willing to be like this blind man? Am I ready to be helped by Jesus? And for me this morning, one morning this week, I've been praying, I know that God measures our lives by faith and hope and love. And I see so little love in my life for people around. I'm so poor in God's measure of people. I need his help. I don't say that to you to say, oh, it's okay if everyone in Bagan Parish Church doesn't care about others. I say, let's all in Bagan Parish Church be people who are asking God for help. Because we know how poor we are and how badly we see God. Let's be people who are like a beggar begging for help from a God who can help us. I'm someone who's got light from God because I'm starting to trust Jesus. The greatest thing Jesus offers is forgiveness of sin. And that ability to be honest with God in my prayers to say, I've done that wrong thing again. I was careless with that person. I was selfish in that situation. I was lazy. I can be honest. I can believe again the promise of forgiveness. What a relief. And I actually find that is the power to start to change once I have that relief and forgiveness. So the person who knows they need help and is looking for Jesus for help, that's the person who's getting light, who's starting to know God. So Jesus comes back clearly knows God, and he doesn't. I'll have light to see. So Jesus brings light to people in darkness. I'll have light to see God if I trust and obey Jesus. Third point, I will become blind if I reject Jesus, the light. This is the serious side of this story. I will become blind if I reject Jesus, the light. In the person living on again, Jesus said, the judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. That's shocking, isn't it? The result of Jesus is that people become blind. What does he mean? Well, there's two main responses to Jesus, three of his actors. So there's the blind man who's seeing more and more of God. He knows he needs help. He knows he doesn't know much, but he's looking for help from Jesus. And then there's the Pharisees who are getting more and more angry and who keep on saying how much they already know and they're already certain of, and that they don't need anyone to teach them anything. Thank you very much. They are the ones who end up getting blind spiritually. They will not listen, and so they will not learn. The blind, spiritually, in verse 39, is those who know they can't see and ask Jesus for help. And Jesus starts to open their eyes to show them their sin and to show forgiveness and to have them love the word of God. But those who see it, and those who think they see, and think they know, like the Pharisees. So let me illustrate this. You'll find people who believe in flat earth. They believe that the planet that we're living on isn't a planet in space, it's a flat earth. And when they are presented with pictures from space, or presented with ideas that suggest that we're living on a ball, not on flat earth, they say, oh, well, yeah, that's just a conspiracy. And they will not learn, they will not listen, because they're sure that they know already. And that's what these Bible this week, giving us that this great God that that opening happens. And it starts with this, as I began, the children were laughing. This, you know, this person had to talk from the Bible. That's not a good sign that they're going to be able to listen and learn, is it? I had the opportunity to speak to a man this week. I gave a leaflet, a Christmas leaflet, and he told me he's sure God is all merciful. He's sure God will forgive everyone. Well, there's no need for him to listen to Jesus' teaching about the need for us to repent. Is that because he's already sure he knows about God? So he doesn't, he's not going to have a space if he stays without belief. He's not going to have a space of understanding for the truth of Jesus. The verse that we had at the beginning was, do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than them. A person who thinks they know God and is sure about God, they can't learn. A person who says, God, there's so much need in my life, help me. Now I trust that Jesus is the one who gives me light to see. They are the person who's learning to see. Why did Jesus come? What is Christmas about? Well, one part is that Jesus comes to make clear who knows God and who doesn't. Who sees and who is blind. Who has light and who is in darkness. And further, we are the people who are seeing, who are in the light. Let's just have a moment to pause and think about what's happened in this chapter. Light can rescue those who are lost. We pray in Jesus' name.